brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Nope. Cartwright's, I caught gun smoke the other day.
Well, we can't even compete. What century are you from, dude?
We can't even compete.
Yeah, like old school Yellowstone or what?
It's James Arness.
You know?
All right. Netflix? Wednesday. Yeah. The Addams Family.
Or Thursday.
No. The show is called Wednesday.
Or Thursday.
I saw the preview for that. Have you seen it yet?
I saw the first couple episodes. It's great.
And?
I love it.
All right.
It's really great, man. It's interesting.
It's James Arness. It's Matt Dillon. You know who his brother is, right? Peter Graves. Mission Impossible. I mean, come on. The coolest family ever.
You know what I caught the other day on HBO is
Porn, but escape. You're not allowed to talk about that
great
here.
Escape. The Great Escape, dude.
Yeah, but it was the dirty version, you weirdo. Yeah, okay. So
Bridge on the River Kwai. Let's go back.
Now that's a good one. Alec Guinness. Who would have known many years later he would be Obi-Wan?
You can stream these things now. Exactly. So we're not the best thing on at 2:30 if you're streaming. We're the best thing on the radio.
It's not the 70s. You don't do that anymore. Streaming? Is that where you ran around naked? Oh, no, that's streaking. Sorry, wrong.
Right.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
It's a pleasure to be here in the basement. Not.
Wine. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here in the dank, damp, lovely basement.
Well, that's where your wife usually keeps you most of the time.
This is so true. Yeah. That's why I feel right at home. Yeah.
We call him the Gimp.
Do you want me to put the chain and the collar on? Or,
yeah.
Go get the Gimp.
Yeah.
And good old boy Justin.
It is so great to be here because it's a really cool box and we get to drink all the stuff in it.
There you go. And good old boy Harm.
I usually don't mean it, but thanks for having me, Bob.
I told you.
It was a really great day.
I told you you'd be happy. Well, our sip segments are about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much almost anything else you can sip. And today we are going to be discussing the 2022 Diageo special releases.
Which still are not in Florida. Thank you, Diageo.
Hey.
You're welcome, Harm.
They are right now.
The press sample came. Thank you. The press release.
I don't care about anybody else. I care about who's. You know, we're here.
Yeah, we got it before you did.
So here are the whiskeys from this year's Diageo 2022 special releases. So we have the Talisker 11-year-old, we have the Oban 10-year-old, we have the Singleton of Glenord 15-year-old.
Yes.
The Kleinleash 12-year-old, the Cardus 16. The Cameron Bridge 26-year-old, and the Lagavulin 12-year-old. So let's have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Well, today we have one sip. Give me a glass of champagne wishes to wash out my mouth.
I'm going to guess that's supposed to be Robin Leach.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Is Robin Leach still alive?
No idea.
I think he must have just killed him.
Probably. If he heard that,
he's cringing somewhere.
If he was still alive, that pushed him over the edge.
No cease and desist if he's not around.
Mm-hmm.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
I'm just not buying it. It's just not Robin Leachy enough. It's just not.
We're
here in Monte Carlo, and we're going to go and see someone's giant house who won't let you in. You know,
very good.
You got to get more.
More Leachy.
It's more car salesman-y. You got to get it out there and everything. We're going to go see his giant, beautiful limousine. It's a nitro-injected garden weasel. You got to push it up, man. Come on. So, all right. Well, let's move on.
Robin Leachy or Leachy?
Robin the Leach.
His liqueur would be Robin Leachy.
Yeah, but no,
Robin Leachy. I prefer Leachy. These people pronounce it Leachy.
No, The Leach. The Leach, because that's, he hangs out with rich people and mooches them. All right, so each year the folks at Diageo search through their big catalog of aging stocks and create a unique collection of whiskeys for their special releases. We did them last year, and this year's release is called the Elusive Expressions, with the barrels for the release chosen by Diageo's master blender, Dr. Craig Wilson, for their unique and individual character. As always, the media presentation and artwork for the special releases is visually stunning, and like last year's Legends Untold release, the original concept is by Kevin Tong and the illustrations are by Ken Taylor.
That doesn't help you because we're the radio.
If you see this on our Instagram or Facebook, you will see a video of us actually opening the box. Diageo is without a doubt the absolute king of media kit packaging. This thing is absolutely stunning. It even includes a QR code to take you to a virtual reality website where you can wander through this room with the galaxy as the ceiling and go into rooms and learn about each expression. It's stunning. It's absolutely
stunning. They put money into the packaging and into the stuff. But let me tell you, the real value is still in the whiskey.
Yeah.
These guys did a great job.
Yeah. So these are the most anticipated releases in the Scotch world every year. So let's get started. We're going to have Harm tell us about our first whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. Our first whiskey is the Talisker 11-year-old special release 2022, 55.1% ABV or 110.2 proof. Aged in American oak and ex-bourbon first fill, but it's finished in refill wine season casks. The Talisker was founded in 1830 by the brothers Hugh and Kenneth McCaskill, who operated the distillery until bankruptcy until 1848. They only lasted like 18 years. Well, the distillery went through several owners then until Roderick Camp and Alexander Allen bought the distillery in 1880 and expanded it. Camp sold out to Allen in 1892, and upon Allen's death in 1895, Allen's business associate, Thomas McKenzie, took control. McKenzie operated the distillery until his death in 1916, and then the distillery was taken over by a group of blenders, including John Walker and Sons, wonder who they are, and John Dewar, another name I'd have never heard of, W.P. Lowry and DCL. These firms eventually merged into what today is Diageo. So the color on this whiskey is a pale straw. A little bit redder than that. The nose, it's all about the seaside. There's maritime saltiness. There's a little dry seaweed. It's like a bonfire on the beach with the smoke coming out. They mentioned fresh linen. And now, I really get that fresh linen in an older Talisker. This is 11 years old, so I don't really get that much here. Oily texture on the palate. Let me try it again. Sweet and smoky with a prickly spice. I mean, that spice comes with, what is that, black pepper and clove? Just, it hits you all over the palate. There's a chili pepper. And but underneath it all, there's a sweet fruit and smoke. I really just think they did a great job. And the finish is quite long. It's not super medicinal, but there's a little bit of more of that phenol that you would expect to get like from a Laphroaig rather than a Lagavulin. And I just think they did a nice job. Maury, what do you think? I know you don't like the style, right?
Well, no, actually, I think it's improved quite a lot since I poured it. When I first poured it in the glass, I felt like it was a little closed, a little out of balance. Everything you said, I think, is spot on. But I thought air did a wonderful things to this whiskey. It really kind of smoothed it out. It blew off some of the over expression of some of the smoke at the beginning. And I really agree with you that it's coming to its own, and everything you've said is really spot on. It's unique. It's definitely not a whiskey for the faint of heart and for the masses. But it's a little bit of a geeky whiskey. I think it's really interesting. It's well balanced, well made, and it's just a little bit off the mainstream.
It's different from the regular Talisker's. Like other Talisker's, sure. I can see more ginger and sweetness coming. This is a different style.
Yeah. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this one here, initially the smoke didn't balance very well. And since it's sat in the glass, blown off, and a lot of that, it's come back and it's a little bit better, but it's a little bit geeky to me that it's not something that I prefer when I drink.
You know, when I drink scotch.
Well, there's a lot of good scotches out there, but this is not the kind of scotch that I prefer. No, and that's different for everybody. It doesn't mean that. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not for a lot of people. It's just not what I prefer. Just like some of the bourbons. Some people like certain ones and they don't.
And then there's Brent who likes every single one.
Yeah. If it's brown and bourbon, drink it down. Yeah.
But
we got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
Mm-hmm. This isn't brown, though. This is a light straw.
It's kind of brown.
It's not even close to brown.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not, why.
See, they're talking about you, Harm.
It's yeller.
They're talking about you. I got your bag. What'd you think, Justin?
So instead of a linen note, I got more of like a dryer full of machine wash dress shirts, but that's kind of quibbling. I thought it was really well balanced. I think they were going for a certain flavor profile, and I think they hit it right on the head.
I'm just trying to figure out how you know what laundry smells like. You've never done laundry in your life.
No, I used to get paid to do it when I was a kid.
I don't believe you. I've met your mom. She isn't paying you for anything.
She did. I didn't get an allowance, but I got jobs. That was my job.
Well, we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing the special releases from Diageo for 2022. We're talking about the Talisker 11-year-old special release. I like this one right out of the bottle, but I think with air, it's gotten even better.
Yeah.
It's just that fresh sea spray, seaweed note. It's like a day at the beach on the nose. And just, again, that fresh out of the, just open up the dryer with fresh linens in it. Like you said, it's like the 30. It's got that.
No, the 30 has much less smoke, and you get more of that linen.
But it's still got that linen, like the 30. So, yeah.
Well, that was off the air. We can't just mention stuff off that we did talk about off the air, man.
Okay. Oh, so we shouldn't talk. Oh,
you referenced that.
Oh, I shouldn't talk about that thing that we had to hide. Justin, hide the lime in the shovel.
Okay.
On the palate. Beautiful palate, got a great oily texture to it, very mouth coating, very sweet on the front palate. The smoke comes in on the back. Just a beautiful note. And
you guys try it with water. It's 110 proof. It doesn't really need it. But
and like you said,
with a drop of water, wow.
It's got a prickliness to it, to the heat.
Yeah.
Really, really well done. Fantastic.
I can't believe it's only 11 years old.
Yeah, if you've got any extra cases just laying around, you have the address. So we're going to be rating the Talisker 11-year-old special releases 2022. Well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. Our next whiskey is the Oban 10-year-old special release 2022, 57.1% ABV, 114.2 proof, aged in refill in New American Oak and Amontillado season cask. Yep, you guys are going to get me on that one for sure. Mm-hmm. It was just a test and I failed. Oban was established in 1793 by brothers John and Hugh Stevenson, who built a brewery at the site of what today is the Oban Distillery. The brothers began distilling at the site in the following year. The Oban Distillery remained within the Stevenson family until 1866, when it was sold to Peter Cumstey, a local businessman who operated the business until 1883, when he then sold to John Walter Hagen. With the arrival of the railroad in 1888, it became easier to get their whiskey to market, and the business grew. This growth led to Hagen rebuild the distillery before he sold in 1898 to Alexander Edward. Edward, in turn, operated the distillery until 1930, where it was acquired by DCL, which became Diageo. The color on this is a very light straw color. On the nose, you get fruit.
It's a fruit bomb.
Fruit. You get fruit. Just about any kind of fruit you can think of, except for your red fruits. Yeah, your lemons, your oranges, your apples.
Pears.
Yeah, everything. Everything
pears, in there. Pears.
Exactly. On the palate, it's the same thing. All those fruits just come on through. You get a little bit of a chili pepper on there, spicy pepper to break it up a little bit. This is a beautiful expression. This is one that I enjoy, where the last one I didn't enjoy.
Not as much as we did.
That's why they make different ones. So one you can enjoy, one you don't have to enjoy.
This doesn't taste like any other Oban I've had, though. Does this taste like an Oban for you?
No, it's unusual. It's really interesting, but I agree with Brent. It's completely a fruit bomb, both the palate and the nose. It's what makes it fascinating and interesting is it's so fruity and just different than anything else.
It's hard not to like this one.
Drinking.
Well, I think it's the Amontillado cask that makes it different, because Amontillado is... it's not the sweetest sherry. It's not the driest sherry. It's right in the middle. It's the hardest sell for me for retailing. It's in the middle. It's saltier. It doesn't have the acidity as some of the others. It's different. And it brings you all these great fruits.
Yeah, I don't remember an Amontillado with this much fruit on it. To me, the Amontillado is a little bit more astringent. Yeah. Amontillado tends to be a little bit more astringent and dry, maybe even a little nutty. And
Definitely nutty.
I'm not sure I get any of those notes on this whiskey.
But you're not getting the dried raisins from Pedro Ximenez. You're not getting the red fruits from Oloroso. You're not getting all the nuttiness like a Fino, which is bone dry. This is in the middle. Mm-hmm. And that just brought some, it's made magic.
Yep. The scotch has to also be giving it that spicy pepper.
Yeah.
To be giving it that as well, to bring that out. It's a fruit and spicy pepper that just really works well. Justin?
So this Oban is like the Worldwide Wrestling Federation decided to take regular Oban and just turn it up to 11. It is way more intense. Usually,
please go to 11.
Usually it's like 80 proof and it's delicate. This one is in your face, wow, but good.
Where did the Worldwide Wrestling Federation come in?
I was wondering the same thing myself.
They do everything over the top and intense. All their marketing.
I don't think they call it the WWF anymore, because that's the World Wildlife Fund. It's the WWE now.
E.
Well, I'm living in 1985, so.
Hmm? What's the E?
I don't know.
Entertainment. I don't follow wrestling.
When the guy jumps off the top row, he goes, "Ee!" flies through the air. Oh,
that explains a lot why he no longer says F.
When he falls on the guy and the knee goes in that tender
Federation
spot.
It used to be the F word.
And they've now rated it. Well, when it hits a tender audiences. Spot, you can't
remember
use that
the
word.
Remember when the WWF sued the WWE to keep WWF for worldwide, I'm sorry, the world, What was that?
Yes, World Wildlife Fund? Believe it or not, as an attorney, I don't follow that.
Pandas beat the rock.
They did?
There's a big old pandas.
Is that right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I don't spend my legal time following case law from wrestling. So,
well, you should.
Well, you're missing out because that's the best precedent site.
So, yeah, Bob, what do you think about this
one? It's a very different open. It's very different from the standard, but I'm loving it.
It doesn't taste anything like the standard.
It is a huge, huge fruit bomb. And if you're a person who likes a fruity whiskey, man, go grab this. It is awesome. It's apples and oranges and lemons and pears.
I don't think it's a geeky fruity whiskey either.
No.
I mean, I don't think it like that.
No.
You know?
I mean, it's just really approachable and beautiful.
Yeah.
It's got milk chocolate in the tip of the nose. It's got brown sugar on the palate. It's apples and pears and plums and sweet oranges and toffee.
Yeah, one of their tasty notes mentioned olive oil, and I wasn't getting it until now.
I get the olives.
I get the olive oil on the nose, not on the palate. Hold on.
It's there. It's there. It's really wonderful. If it ever shows up in Florida, Diageo, I would love to buy some from my store.
I get it on the nose. I don't get it on the palate, but I mean, just really, I mean, Oban's always a good pour, but this one's special. This one's absolutely
special. A special release.
Yeah, there's a reason. Well, we're going to be rating the Oban 10-year-old special release 2022. Well deserved.
Oh my goodness.
5 sips.
Yeah. 5 sips on a 10-year-old. That's really awesome.
So we're going to go to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob.
This is a good one. Don't mess it up.
I'll try.
Okay.
The next whiskey is the Singleton.
Too late. He messed it up.
Of Glenord, 15-year-old special release, 2022, 54.2% ABV, 108.2 proof, aged and refilled American and European oak, and some wine seasoned casks. The Glenord.
I am very aroused.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you are. The Glenord Distillery was established in 1838 by Robert Johnstone and Donald McLennan until they went bankrupt in 1847. Didn't take them long, 9 years. The distillery was reopened in 1855 with new owners, Alexander McLennan and Thomas McGregor. After McLennan's death, his widow remarried to Alexander McKenzie, who took over running the distillery in 1877. McKenzie sold the distillery in 1896 to the blending house of James Watson and Son. In 1917, with World War I raging, the distillery was closed due to barley rationing. They reopened in 1919, and the distillery was sold in 1923. Thomas Dewar and Sons, which became part of DCL, was closed. The distillery again in 1939, and it remained closed until 1946. In 1966, the distillery tripled production when they went from 2 stills to 6. In 1985, DCL merged with Guinness to form United Distillers Limited, and in 1997, they merged with Grand Metropolitan to become none other than Diageo. Well, this whiskey has a nice light copper color to it. On the nose, lots of fruit. Again, another fruit bomb. Peaches and red berries, orange, stewed spiced apricots, a little bit of toffee, and a hint of oak. On the palate, a lot of sweet fruit, apples and pears and raspberries, a hint of pound cake, even a little bit of spicy grape. And the finish, I would say, was medium to long. This is a really, really interesting whiskey. Again, something out of the norm of what you might experience on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And I found it very interesting and really pleasant. What'd you think, Brett?
I also enjoyed this one. The spiciness and the fruits on the palate, you know, this one and the previous one, they're entirely different, but they both kind of have the same kind of characteristics with that fruit and the spiciness. It's just different fruits and different spice, and they works really well together. I don't know if people understand that through the radio, you know, but you know how there's different fruits and different spices, and they work really well. So I'm happy with this one as well. Justin?
So I got the notes that we previously mentioned, but it definitely like a, there's a nice overlay of like English breakfast tea notes over the whole thing. And you don't often get a mildly spicy finish on a scotch like this. And not only is it very good, it's very unique. What do you think, Harm?
I think there's no such thing as very unique. Unique is the superlative. It's either unique or it's not.
So it's unique, very.
Got you that time.
Smart guy. The Singleton is a brand that actually uses multiple single distilleries. The one we get here mostly in the United States is the Singleton of Glendullen. Yeah. This is the Singleton of Glenord, which is generally a European-only release. I've been lucky enough to taste several Singletons of Glenord, and I feel like the Europeans are screwing us over because the Glenord tends to be a lot better than Glendullen.
Everyone is screwing you over.
Yeah.
No.
Could be. There's paranoid.
America. They're screwing them over to America. I'm not taking it personally. I'm just saying
Europeans
are keeping the better stuff for themselves. So the Glenord is the fruity, more rich style than we get than the Glendullen. And this is it's hard to find Glenords in America, and this is the one you want. So Singleton of Glenord, wow. Fruit bomb. Everything you guys said was right. I really enjoyed it. It's wonderful whiskey.
Yeah, it's stewed apples. It's toffee. There's a little hint of oak on the nose. And on the palate, it's like sweet apple butter, pears, pound cake. There's a bit of a grapiness to it. I mean, it's an absolutely lovely whiskey. And I'm with him. I think the Glenord is always better than the Glendullen. And I think they keep it away from us on purpose. I think they're just doing it on purpose to be mean. But thankfully, they let this one through. And it's fabulous. So we're going to be rating the Singleton of Glenord 15-year-old Diageo Special Release 2022. A well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's go on to our next whiskey, which is the Kleinleash 12-year-old special release, 58.5% ABV, 117 proof. It's aged in refill American oak and PX and Oloroso sherried casks. Kleinleash was established in 1819 by the Duke of Sutherland. In 1827, the distillery went bankrupt. You ever notice it's every distillery you ever read? Well, it was, somebody opened it, ran it for a decade, it went broke. Bought it, he ran it, it went broke.
Yeah. It's bankruptcy or fire.
And exactly. So 1827, they went under.
Insurance fire.
And it was assumed by John Matheson. And he, in turn, sold the distillery to George Washington Sons in 1846. In 1896, it was acquired by blenders Ainsley and Heilbrun in partnership with John Risk, who became the outright owner in 1912. In 1925, it was taken over by DCL and then subsequently closed. It reopened in 1960 and operated until 67, when a new distillery was built next door and operations were moved there. The original distillery became the legendary Brora Distillery. If you're a Scotch fan, everybody knows that one. In 1985, DCL merged with Guinness to form United Distillers. In 97, they merged with Grand Met and, again, became Diageo. So this one, again, a lovely, lovely whiskey. Got a beautiful, just a very beautiful light gold color to it. Fruit cake. Brown butter or brown sugar and butter.
Butterscotch.
And a little hint of raisin on the nose. It's got a little bit of waxiness to it. And on the palate, got a beautiful thick mouth coat to it. It goes all around the tongue, down the throat, up the back. It's got some raisins, got sultanas, got a little bit of.
Sultanas are raisins.
Different. A little bit of chocolate, not dark chocolate, like in between. Like got a beautiful mouthfeel to it. I mean, lovely, absolutely lovely whiskey. What'd you think, Arm?
I think everything you said is spot on, Bob.
Okay, then moving on. We can skip him. Okay.
Okay, then I will chime in and say that this one, to me, I thought the Oloroso casks overpowered it. I thought it was too much raisin, really? Too much plum on it, and it didn't balance out.
Now I'm going to cut you.
Right, exactly. it didn't balance out as well for me as it did.
I think you're mistaken. I'm sorry. As much as I love you and like to agree with you, I think you missed the boat on this one.
This one is the one that just didn't.
This
just
is the best Kleinleash I've ever had.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Kleinleash fan. This is the one.
Yeah.
No, this is a beautiful
Kleinleash. This is the Neo of Kleinleash. Yeah.
It's just got all those layers and really lovely stuff.
You really think Oloroso overpowered
And this? That's the thing about it.
So.
The layers to it. Taste it now and then come back in 10 minutes and taste it again and come back in 10 minutes.
And the finish just goes on and on.
The finish, that's the one thing I didn't mention is I took the last sip 4 minutes ago and I still taste it. It just, it doesn't go away.
Well, you got another 10 minutes to go because it's...
Yeah, it just, it's forever. I mean, it's, this is...
You mentioned the waxiness. It coats your palate like that.
This is the best Kleinleash I've ever had. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, Kleinleash, the general release is a 14-year-old Kleinleash. And I've always been like, it's there.
It's okay. I mean, it's a solid whiskey. There's nothing wrong with it. But this, without a doubt, is the best one I've ever had.
There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing that recommends it. Yeah. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
This one... I want.
Boom.
I want to go out of my way to get this one.
Yeah.
What'd Again, Diageo, please send it to Florida.
What'd
or
you
the United
think,
States
Justin?
In general. It'd be great.
So this spirit for me, what made it unique was the mouthfeel. It would start out with like a light oiliness and then it would finish dry and it would just make you want to keep drinking it to get that light oily feel at the beginning again. So I could definitely sit down and polish a bottle off of this.
I've seen you sit down and polish off a bottle of much lesser than this, so that doesn't really mean a lot.
It's 117 proof. I didn't add any water to it. Did you guys add any water at all?
No, I didn't think it needed water at all.
No.
I just enjoy it the way it is. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just it's got such a great mouth coat though. That's the thing. When you take the tiniest
leave the room when we taste this.
You
whiskey.
Take the tiniest
how
sip
can you
and
say
it's,
this is bad.
You taste it
I
everywhere.
Didn't say it was bad. I just said I thought that it was
you
a little bit
unbalanced.
Right. I just thought it was unbalanced for me. Doesn't mean it's not balanced for you. It's unbalanced for me. That's all.
We've often said that Brent is unbalanced.
I'm very unbalanced. That's a fact.
His psychiatrist said that
the
to me in
confidence. The more he drinks, the less balance he has.
Right. Well, we're going to be rating the Kleinleash 12-year-old special releases 2022. A extremely well-deserved 5 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And we'll be back.
It's not just the destination. But baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing the special releases from Diageo for 2022.
And off the air, we were discussing why Brent was wrong, but he's actually right. Everybody has a different flavor palette.
They're just wrong. That's all. I mean, you can have a different opinion. It's just wrong.
You can have the wrong opinion.
Yeah, you can have all the wrong opinions you want. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Heck with you. So we're going to go to our next one. We're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So we're going to talk about...
Thank you, Justin. It's been nice having you on the radio today.
Well, the fat man made a funny.
Today, we're going to be talking about Cardew 16-year-old special releases 2022.
It's ooh, yeah!
58% alcohol by volume, or 116 proof. Refilled and recharred. American oak, Jamaican pot still rum season casks. Cardew can trace its origins all the way back to 1811, when John and Helen Cumming first began illicit distilling on their farm in Speyside. Business was good, and looking to protect the business they had built, Cardew became the first of the Speyside distilleries to apply for a license under the Excise Act in 1823.
They knuckled under, man. They gave over to the man.
I think they knew their number was
sold
up.
Out. They sold out, became licensed.
And paid their taxes.
Yeah. 1884, they rebuilt the distillery, selling the old stills to William Grant, who was building his Glenfiddich distillery in Dufftown. Looking to secure one of the main components in their blends, the distillery was purchased by John Walker and Sons in 1893, and today Cardew acts as the home for Johnny Walker.
Keep on walking.
Mm-hmm.
The color of this spirit is a light yellow. On the nose, toffee, pears, mango, pineapple, lemons, and a little bit of white chocolate. On the palate, the mouthfeel is creamy. There's toffee, apples, pears, rum cake, and chocolate. The finish is long and sweet with a little bit of spice. It definitely tastes like the Jamaican rum cask that it was seasoned in. I think it was balanced well. What did you think, Corey?
I think you nailed the description spot on. I really am having a hard time adding anything to what you said.
Okay, moving on.
I mean, really, the tropical notes from the rum cask really come through. It reminds me of, I think it's Balvini does a tropical rum cask finish, and it reminds me a little bit of that.
They have a 14-year-old, and they have a 27-year-old in a Caroni barrel.
Yeah, oh, I haven't had the 27, yeah. But the 14 is out there, and it's a beautiful.
Here they call it Caribbean rum. Everywhere else they call it Cuban rum.
Well, that's correct. The 14. The Caroni is not from Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really think you nailed it, Justin. I think this is delicious. It was really a surprise. I thought it was wonderful.
Exactly. It's a tropical paradise, you know. And this one here.
This is a Scotch Brent liked.
Brent has to like this one. He's a sailor. But, it's in rum cask. Come on, man.
The other thing is that this one's got that. This one's got that little raisin. That raisin on the palate that you get a little bit of that, but it's. It's spread out and it's balanced over all those other fruits and stuff. And this is why I like this one. It's very well balanced, very fruity. It's going down to the Caribbean, going out in the tropics, and enjoying yourself.
Just like the last one was the best Kleinleash I've ever had, this is the best Cardew I've ever had. I mean, regular Cardew, for 20 years we couldn't get it in this country because they were drinking it all in Spain, and Diageo increased production by building a new distillery. And the regular 12-year-old Cardew is what you find everywhere. This special release of the 16-year-old with the Jamaican rum casks, another level. The best Cardew I've ever had in my life. Wonderful stuff.
It's not you, it's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you.
Tropical fruits. Bob, do you want to chime in here?
Yeah, I've just...
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
Okay, that's enough. I mean, it's just, yeah.
That pretty much sums it up.
Again, I've got to agree with Harm. This is the best Cardew I've ever had. I mean, this is just...
Me too.
So fantastic.
Well, Brent, you've never found a Cardew you liked, so the fact that you liked one is really...
Yeah.
Quite an improvement.
Just creamy, creamy mouthfeel. It's all about
toffee up front, and then the fruits just come in. It's gorgeous.
It's got that beautiful coating creaminess, especially the front along the teeth. It's just like, oh, it's just so well done. What more can you say? It's a fantastic Cardew. Can't believe it tastes this good at only 16 years, but wow. We're going to rate the Cardew 16-year-old special release 2022 a well-deserved 5 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to have Brent tell us about the next one.
Thanks, Bob. Our next whiskey is the Cameron Bridge 26-year-old special releases 2022, 56.2% ABV. That's 112.4 proof. It's aged in refill American oak casks. Cameron Bridge is the oldest and largest grain distillery in Europe, founded by John Hagg in 1824. with the rise of blended whiskeys.
John Haig.
With the rise of blended whiskeys, John decided to make grain whiskey in 1829 and install a patent still, which was invented by his cousins, Robert Stein. When Aeneas Coffee improved upon the continuous still with his own patent, they installed two coffee stills. In 1877, Cameron Bridge joined eight other grain distillers to create Distillers Company Limited, which gave them control of 75% of Scotland's grain capacity. In 1985, DCL merged with Guinness to form United Distillers Limited, and in 1997, they merged with Grand Metropolitan to become Diageo. I think that's becoming a monopoly, this Diageo guy.
Well, it's the Diageo show.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Their lawyers will appreciate you saying
this. Yes, they will.
This is a nice light straw color. The little bit on the darker straw side there. But the on the nose, you get caramel and toffee. You get some of those Caribbean fruits like a mango and the papaya, a little bit of apples.
Mangoes from India, not the Caribbean. Those Caribbean mangoes are completely inferior to Indian mangoes. Looking at you, Maury. You and your mango trees.
This is good on the palate. You get the butterscotch and caramel. You get a little bit of you get some of those fruits that come through. A little bit of milk chocolate in there. Some sugar. It's just a beautiful. I mean, coat your mouth. I'm very much enjoying this. This is something that everybody can enjoy, I believe.
We don't know the mash bill on this, but when they talk about grain whiskeys from Scotland, it's corn and wheat. Is it mostly wheat in Cameron Bridge? I don't know.
It varies by basically what they've got, but I'm just glad to see that they include grain whiskey in the special releases because I think it's an underappreciated category of whiskey from Scotland. I mean, I've had some fantastic aged grain whiskeys.
We have had some amazing grain whiskeys
that we're really fans of the hedonism from Compass Box.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes. I mean,
there's so many, Justin, 43-year
Invergordon.
Yeah, amazing.
And this is very similar to that.
So. I had a North British 45-year-old that was distilled in the 70s.
Yeah.
Inexpensive. I mean, we're talking a couple hundred bucks max, and they're 45-year-old whiskeys.
Yeah. I had a canvas. It was like 30 something odd years old. And I'm like, how much is this? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to see that they included it in the special releases. This one is absolutely lovely. And again, caramel and toffee on the nose, but the butterscotch comes through. The mangoes are there. The toffee is there. The milk chocolate is there. The brown sugar is there. Absolutely beautiful whiskey. What do you think, Justin?
I got buttery grits on the nose and I loved it. And on the palate, for me, it was a chocolate bomb in the best possible way. I really love grain whiskey.
But it's not dark chocolate. It's like
milk chocolate. Hershey's.
Yeah. Like, it's like a little darker than milk.
Lint.
Yeah.
You know, or it's Swiss definitely chocolate.
Not high proof, dark chocolate. It's definitely closer to milk.
Well, you know, when you make your own chocolate milk with the Hershey's syrup. Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I agree. I thought this whiskey had some really unusual notes that I couldn't even put my finger on that just made it really unique.
You can. It just makes your finger wet. Here, watch. It's like, ew.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just thought it was delicious. It was really a surprise in the glass. It was like nothing I've had in quite some time. It just came together.
It's hard not to enjoy this one.
Magical symphony. Yeah, it really was.
This one is.
It's hard not to enjoy getting your fingers wet.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's light. But the flavor is there. It's the whole package. So we're going to be rating the Cameron Bridge 26-year-old special release.
Cameron Bridge.
That's what I just said.
Well, I've been drinking some alcohol.
Four sips.
That's classified.
All right. It's not the best Cameron Bridge I've had, but it's damn good. Those other
pitter patter. Let's get at her.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You got a few minutes left. Let's go. Come on.
Okay,
come on.
Come last on. Whiskey.
A very few minutes
Don't
left.
Break come your on. Arm, pat yourself on the back. Yeah. Keep moving.
It's not you, it's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you.
It's always harm. It's always harm.
I don't
harm.
Even know what your name is, bud.
Yeah, okay. You want to start talking? I mean,
yeah.
If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it.
Yeah. Today? Today, maybe.
Lagavulin.
Yeah.
Okay. Is our last whiskey of the day. The Lagavulin 12-year-old special releases 2022, 55.1% ABV, 110.3 proof. Aged in American and ex-bourbon fill and refill, plus wine season casks. Lagavulin was founded in 1816 by John Johnston. John Johnston, that's not John Johnson? Johnston,
not Don Johnson. Johnson.
He operated the distillery until his death in 1836 when the distillery was purchased by Alexander Graham. The Graham family opened this operated the distillery until 1862. A bunch of stuff about people. Eventually, it goes to Diageo.
Left his work with the telephone net.
It goes to Diageo. Where we go.
Okay.
So tell us about the color is a reddish straw color. The notes on the nose here. They're standing on a beach on the ocean in space on Isla. You smell the seaweed, you smell the smoke because somebody's got a bonfire down the way, and there's apples and tea and leather, and it's all there, and there's like smoked fish notes going on, and then you put it on the mouth.
Sounds like an S&M convention.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would know about such things.
Well, a little leather and smoked fish. Yeah, there you go. Texture's oily. There's a beautiful sweetness underneath. There's a little bit of citrus. There's a lot of black pepper and salt and smoke. It's deeper and richer than other Lagavulins I've had without being overly smoky, without being overly phenolic. It's gorgeous, and it's got an earthy note to it that lasts forever on the finish.
I would agree with everything you said. However, I want to say that it changed dramatically from the time we first poured it. When I first poured it in the glass, it was overwhelmed by the bonfire, the smoke.
Nah,
and
not overwhelmed. Could just be you're a sissy. That could be it.
But honestly,
this is
with
a bonfire about 100 yards away.
No, with 30, 45 minutes in the glass and plenty of oxygen and plenty of time, it's evolved into all the things you just said. But this is not a whiskey that you can pour in your glass and chug down.
Yes, you can.
No.
Yes, you can. Yes, I
Brent,
drink it.
Come
Brent,
on.
Okay.
Back me up, Brent.
Okay, so let me say about this. The smoke initially, you're like, you take your initial nose to it, and you're
and
like,
it takes your breath
oh
away.
Oh my God.
It takes your
deal
breath
with
away.
This. I'm going to deal with this. You get a little bit, you go in a little bit, and this is one of the most balanced, smoky whiskeys that I've had. This is the campfire on the beach smoked, you know, that you're going to have with
this is
like
the clam bake.
Yeah, like a clam bake or something like that. You get some saltiness.
When you throw the seaweed on top of the fire for the clam bake, that's it.
Right, but initially you don't get that. Initially the smoke is like, oh my gosh. And then once you let it evolve, now this is a very balanced.
I think you and Maury are just overly sensitive.
What
to
I'm
smoke.
Trying to figure out is how two wussies that are this sensitive to smoke can possibly be certified barbecue judges with me. Explain that one to me.
If I mean you guys what are certified mean, am, barbecue judges, it freaks me.
I am telling you guys how balanced this is after it sits for a couple
yeah,
minutes.
Exactly.
And then they're gonna complain about it.
I know.
Like one of the most balanced smoky whiskeys I've ever had, and they're gonna complain. Justin, I understand how they work.
Yeah. What do you think? I'm sick of hearing from them.
So yeah. I've had a few Lagavulins before, and this one.
This and one more will make a pair.
I've heard you've had more than a few, buddy.
I tell you what. This just really reminds me of like drinking whiskey on the beach in the winter.
Yeah.
It's just 100%. So nice. Campfire I wish I had going. More so I could get lost in this. I loved it.
This is a chocolatey finish. I just had to drop
one. Yeah.
Everything reminds me of drinking whiskey somewhere. You ever notice that? You have a problem. You need help.
Yeah.
12 steps, buddy.
It's got that little saltiness to it.
I'm loving my denial. I'm good.
Yeah.
This is a deeper, richer version of most Lagavulins I've had. It's
completely different than most Lagavulins. I think it's got much more complexity.
Well, we're going to be rating the Lagavulin 12-year-old special release 2022 from Diageo. A well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Well, aside from having the coolest packaging on planet Earth, the whiskey's pretty damn good, too, so...
Were they all 4s and 5s today?
Yeah.
They were all 4s and 5s.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the special releases. They don't put anything in these that isn't good, so... Hopefully, they'll be kind enough to send us the 2022 Distillers Editions, and we'll get to bring those to you probably in the new year. So I want to thank our host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
You know, it actually was a pleasure today.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Thank God you made Brent wear pants today. I feel a lot less intimidated.
Thank you, Justin.
Whiskey was so damn good, I don't care if Brent was wearing pants or not.
And thank you, Harm.
I can't believe Brent was really appreciative of a Scotch show. Thank you.
Anything can happen. Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob reminding you life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.